Okay, so if you could give me your name and your title first, please, I would appreciate that.
I'm Kendall Keith. I'm president of the National Grain and Feed Association.
Okay, Kendall. And how do you spell your first name and last both, I suppose?
K-E-N-D-E-L-L, and last is K-E-I-T-H.
Kendall, could you tell me just how you view the current economic situation for the infrastructure of the grain handling system? And I suppose most farmers are concerned about elevators at this point and their viability, as even the largest of grain handlers have begun to do basis-only contracts.
Well, I haven't received any confirmation that the largest companies are going to basis only as a strict rule. I've heard rumors of that. Those rumors have been in the marketplace for a few days. But every grain elevator that's out there is borrowing more capital for operating purposes for a variety of reasons. Because higher grain prices, buying grain across the scale costs more. As they've forward contracted grain, they've had to put up margin money to protect on themselves on hedges in the marketplace, and so there's many new drains on the capital, the working capital of elevators. Also, you've seen, and this is a very unusual situation, of course, to see grain prices this high, but not only this high in the current environment, but also going forward in the futures market. There's the high grain prices are as far as the eye can see at this stage, and so farmers are interested in booking more forward grain farther out than they ever have, and all those three factors that I've just mentioned are all very significant drains on working capital and for the elevators. And you know, the lenders understand that standing behind hedges is much more important at this stage, and they certainly are going to, I think, in our minds, stay with the existing hedges on forward contracts. But there's no question that banks and elevators are talking with themselves about, you know, how to restrict contracting obligations, additional contract obligations in the cash marketplace that might require even additional hedge margins, and because the working capital is being pushed to the limits at this stage.
What do those restrictions mean, or what kinds of ideas are being tossed around at this time?
Well, you know, there are a lot of ideas. I mean, the basis only concept that you mentioned earlier, in essence, forces the farmer to enter into futures contracts to protect themselves on the future side. If they want to forward contract grain, if they've got an agreement on what the basis is, then all they need to do is then go into the futures markets and sell the quantities that they want to book forward. It says that they then become at risk on putting up margins on that grain if in case the market continues to rise. There are option strategies that allow farmers to protect themselves though without the possibility of facing the futures margining requirements, but those are things that they should talk over with their elevators and understand what taking those types of positions means. The elevator industry has historically taken upon themselves to book in cash forward contracts and to cover the margining risk until those cash contracts are executed on delivery. And we're in an extreme situation now where prices have doubled and tripled, where, you know, that burden has become an inordinate expense in terms of interest costs. And so there's a lot of forward contracts out there that the elevators will not make money on because they had no idea that the prices would rise this high, that they would be sending so many dollars to Chicago to protect hedges and to fund hedges. And the banks do charge interest for money that's being borrowed, clearly.
So the basis-only contracts, I understand, transfer the risk of holding that contract actually to the producer.
Right.
I'm wondering, because the producer would be expected to take a position in the futures if he wanted to protect himself on that. I'm wondering why historically it was that elevators took on that risk for themselves and the potential for margin calls. Were they able to make money out of those on a regular basis? Is that why they did it, or was there, or they were they truly just being nice?
Well, they're in the business of trying to attract grain, and I think elevators have historically offered a variety of contracts: minimum price contracts, hedge to arrive, basis contracts, payment later contracts, and so forth. And the with the idea you're trying to attract grain into a facility and through a facility and into the marketing stream, and so you want to be able to book as many bushels forward as you can. And the elevators have been willing to assume some financial risk, what they viewed in the past was reasonable financial risk, the farmers tend to be focused more on production as opposed to marketing. That there's a period of time when farmers get more focused on marketing when the production is not so intense. But when the farmer's out there really trying to grow a crop, you know, he's not fully focused on the marketing side of it. And so, also I think farmers have historically not been in a good position to explain to spouses maybe as to why we need to send a big check to Chicago to cover our futures position when indeed it would be a pure hedge anyway. I mean, that they would understand that, you know. And so I think the elevators have been willing to finance it in the past because it made sense for their overall business of attracting grain.
What do you think the possibility is that this will represent a sea change in the way risk is managed by the elevators? Is it possible that risk will remain in the hands of producers from this point forward? Or is it really that much of a tool for elevators to garner bushels?
Well, you know, what's happened is that as elevators have seen more risk come into the marketplace, financial risk, interest costs and so forth, and transportation costs have risen, we've seen a much wider basis develop. And it's because, I mean, and some people are uncomfortable with that, but in fact it's a good sign that the market is functioning as it should. When there's more risk out there to manage, when it costs you 30 or 40 cents in interest costs to buy that contracted bushel as opposed to the nickel in interest costs that might be normally expected, then the market should react with a wider basis. If it doesn't, then the elevators won't sustain their businesses. But I think that in going into the future, if this volatility is expected to continue, then I think there's going to be there will be some adjustment in the commercial grain buying industry to maybe share some of those financial risks that you don't know how much money margin money you're going to have to put up. But you know, it could be a significant part of the cost of the transaction, and when nobody ever anticipated these kinds of prices in the past. But going forward, you know, if we remain in a tight stock situation, then everyone should expect it, and either the elevator will continue to finance it, or will look for ways of sharing that risk.
And then let's turn our attention to just a bit of a different topic and talk about grain indemnity funds. The two states that I cover on the air are Illinois and Indiana. They both have one, but we have a pretty wide listenership outside of that area across the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And other states do not. Minnesota, I don't believe, has one. Kansas doesn't have one. Missouri doesn't have one. It seems to me Nebraska may not have one, too. In a weekend newsletter that we send out, there'll be a link to the Association of Warehousers.
Warehouse control officials, yes.
Yeah, and they have a map, so that'll be in there that shows across the United States who does and who does not have indemnity funds. What does the National Grain and Feed Association think about the indemnity funds? Is there a need for a nationalized indemnity fund? Is it the responsibilities of the state? I know it is at this point. Where do you stand on this issue?
Well, indemnity funds is really a little like sharing risk across producers. And there are mixed views on that issue among elevators. There are mixed views on that issue among producers, too. And there are situations out here in the marketplace where grain elevators that are tending to buy grain and track grain and pay prices that are well above, say, other elevators around them, or I mean, that's a sign that an elevator may in fact be in trouble because they're trying to attract cash flow, and if an elevator doesn't understand the costs involved in their business, then and they really don't know how to price grain very well, then they can get into trouble very quickly by overpaying for grain. And, you know, I mean, farmers know this. Farmers that have been in business for a while can understand, you know, if it's too good to be true, then it probably, you know, there might be a problem. But there are other philosophies out here that suggest that maybe some indemnity program beyond bonding might make some economic sense, but you get really, really diverse views between, say, the states of Iowa and Illinois on two major grain states by the regulators themselves. And Iowa does not have an indemnity program that covers a lot of risk. It has a partial program that covers limited risk. Illinois covers virtually 85% or 90% of the risk. I can't remember exactly the percentage. But Illinois has had some big payouts too in recent years, which suggests maybe that if you provide something close to 100% protection on this stuff, it may give businesses more of a license to take risks that they normally would not take. And, you know, that's been our philosophy in terms of we've never really supported a national indemnity program per se, although we've talked about it with some of the states in the past in the context of drawing firmer lines on the authority of state and federal regulators on warehousing, which we think would be a good idea, but only in that context. And so currently the states that don't have indemnity programs have bonding requirements at certain levels. Obviously, you know the best thing for farmers is to know who they're doing business with and to do a gut check, you know, and to make sure. We don't, I mean, this is a highly volatile marketplace, and so it has been more of a challenge for elevators to work in. But I mean, you know, there are ways that elevators have managed to deal with the pressure on financing. Some are selling some inventories in house to other grain companies that can afford to buy them, so that in essence the elevator itself does not own and have to margin so many bushels. And so there are ways of adjusting the marketplace, and people are doing this, you know. And so this is not a time when farmers should necessarily, you know, be raising questions about the elevator's ability to perform. I think that if you know the grain industry is functionally sound. I mean, the banking industry, we have not heard of problems where elevators are experiencing extensive challenges with getting financing. I mean, they're moving a lot of different directions, and they're talking to their bankers real frequently these days. But bankers have grown in sophistication and the understanding of what hedges are about. And you know, grain elevators need to hedge, and if they can't hedge the grain, then they'd better get rid of the grain. You know. So.
One final question, Kendall. Two things, I guess. One, the website we were talking about and the organization we were talking about to begin with, where you can see that map of where there are indemnity funds and where
there
are not.
Yeah,
AWACO. Is it AAWCO.org? aawco.org.
Okay.
That's aawco.org.
Right.
And then the last thing is, can you tell me what it is, who it is that your association represents and what its mission is?
Well, the association represents commercial grain buyers, exporters, processors. We have both cooperatives and independents in our membership, probably about half of each. Our mission, well, let me see. Our mission, by and large, is to promote free market principles and to work with government to ensure that the industry functions well and interfaces with government in ways that is productive and efficient for the marketplace and its service to farmers as well as consumers.
Kendall, thanks much for taking the time with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Kendall Keith is the president of the National Grain and Feed Association. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.